You're listening to Sunday Worship at Weddington Methodist Church. Find more ways to worship, fellowship, serve, study, and be supported at weddingtonchurch.org.
Good morning. You may be wondering, why is Pastor Rocio not in an alb? And I can tell you it's at least 90 degrees outside. But what a blessing it is to be here together in God's house. Today, we are going to reflect on Micah 6:8. And it's a known Bible verse. But before we get started, I invite us to be in prayer. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for bringing us to your house, for hearing our prayers and receiving our song. God, we say thank you. And Lord, we prepare our hearts and our minds to be edified by you, by your word, through your Holy Spirit, God. And Lord, I pray that you forgive me my sins, that you touch my lips with a coal from your altar, God, that it be much, much more of your Holy Spirit and less of me. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Throughout my years in ministry, whether it was my years as a youth pastor or as a missionary, and now here as your servant as an associate pastor at Weddington, oftentimes people have asked me, they have said, Pastor, how do we know? How do I know that I am doing God's will? How do I know that I am doing what God wants me to do, that I am being who God wants me to be? And that's a really deep, deep question. And oftentimes we've talked about the greatest commandment, which is to love God with all of your mind, all of your heart, all of your strength, all of your soul, and don't forget the second part, to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Other times, we spoke of John 3:16, that Jesus is the way, that because of love through Jesus, we are redeemed, we are restored, we find salvation. Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior. But we've also come back to this ancient word in Micah 6:8. Maybe you have it painted on your office wall or in your kitchen. I know it's trendy to paint Bible verses or hang them somewhere. But I want you to know, I want us to remember that in reality, Micah 6:8 is ancient, ancient word, thousands of years old from the Old Testament. And it is guidance to this question. And so I invite us to start reading from Micah chapter 6. And we're going to read from verses 6 through 8. And the word of God says, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Act justly, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. Three clear but profound instructions. We could dive deep into each and every one of those three. We could do a sermon series just on those three. But today, I feel called to go through 1 and 2, act justly and love mercy, somewhat quickly, and then really dive into walking humbly with God. But let's talk first of acting justly. So what does that mean? It's not justice just like humanity as we understand it, right? We tend to, when we think of justice, we think of fairness. Sometimes we think of our laws and our order. Sometimes in the court system, right? We are seeking justice. We are seeking truth. Someone goes through that experience of the court to find out what really happened and therefore decide what is fair. Other times when we think of justice, we think of social justice, of being with the people that are struggling, with those that are going through crisis, and how do we walk humbly with them? And so as a humanity, we try to understand justice. What does acting justly mean? But all of that that we do as a humanity is just a piece of it. It's just a part of it. Because God's justice is way more than just that. Way more than just that. See, God's character, if we're trying to seek truth, there's only truth or complete truth in God. In his nature, God is righteous and God is true, and only in God is there complete fairness. So how do we begin to understand that? Through the Word of God. We are left with the blessing of the Word of God. And see, here's the thing. Sometimes we're too hard on our young ones, on our teenagers, on our young adults. We think they're the only rebellious ones. But I can tell you as a pastor, some of the hardest people to correct are adults. Because we think we have it together. We think we know. We think we already have arrived. We think we are the ones in authority and the knowing. But in reality, we need to discover more and more what acting justly means according to God's justice, according to God's truth. And the way we do that is by submitting to the Word of God. Not just to the elements of the Word of God that support who I am, but even especially for those elements of the Word of God that challenge who I am, that call me to transformation and continuing to work, to grow as a child of God. So acting justly is more than just being fair as a person, or honest as a person, or a person of integrity. All of that is important, but it's much deeper than that. It's diving into the Word and being and submitting to that area of correction that we need correction in through the Word of God, through God's truth, through God's justice and righteousness and intention for you and for me. And then the second element in Micah 6:8 is to love mercy. That calls us to be people who serve one another and who serve one another without criticizing one another, even if we just think it. Sometimes we don't say it, but sometimes we think it. Why? What did this person do to arrive here, to this situation? If this person would have, if this person should have. But when we are people who love mercy, we are people who love to receive the mercy because we recognize the need for ourselves, and therefore we give that loving mercy to others. We know that we too are broken, that we too are in a transition on that process of sanctification that we are blessed to receive from God. So we are people who offer mercy without criticism. We are people who offer mercy without interest. I can tell you, I confess that as a pastor, sometimes I have to deal with that with myself. Why? Because when we serve in our different campuses, whether it's making sandwiches or helping with reading or whatever it is, teaching the Word of God, my yearning is that they also come to worship. That is my hope. And although that is with good intention, really, that is between them and God. I should serve no matter what because I love mercy and because I understand that I also received mercy. And then there's this really difficult area of mercy, which is forgiveness. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And the key word is as. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. We must forgive because we understand that we have been forgiven. So people who love mercy are there in present with one another. We receive mercy from God and we give mercy from God. Selfless mercy. But now let us go to that third element. To walk humbly with your God. Humbleness is more than how we act. Humbleness is more than just the tone of our voice, our choice of words, our posture. Oh, he's so humble, she's so humble. Humbleness is more than how we act. Humbleness is how we act with God. Humbleness is how we act with God. So here it says, the word of God says, walk humbly with God. But you know what the problem is? That we walk in front of God. And at a fast pace, God, hurry up, catch up with me, because we have a vision, we have a plan, we have a committee, and we've got this under control. Catch up, Jesus. But in reality, Jesus is the person of authority. When we walk humbly with God, we are following God, because we honor God in our lives, because we recognize that he is our creator and our savior and that holy presence in us and around us daily, and how much we need that forgiveness, how much we need that salvation. So therefore, I understand that I must follow God as I walk. And it's a daily thing. It's not just like, you know, Sundays during church hour, during worship hour. It is every day in our daily life, for young and old. Whether we're in school, in high school, or as adults, in those areas of life that perhaps stress us the most, that we worry about the most, those are the areas that we are to call on God so that we may follow God's direction. For instance, in our workplace, when we have all these plans, the way we treat our coworkers, our goals, our ideas, what we want to do, before we start, we should ask God, God, show me your will. Give me direction. I surrender to you this project. I surrender to you this circumstance, this problem, whatever it is, this great idea. Show me your blessing upon it. And if it's not your will, let me hear you. And let me tell you, church, God continues to speak through the Holy Spirit. I've preached on the Holy Spirit because I feel like society, too many times we focus on the Father and on the Son, but we pray in the name of the Holy Trinity. And the presence of the Holy Spirit is what we received as the breath of life through Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is what empowers us, but also guides and corrects you and me. So as we walk our daily life, as we make decisions at our workplace, God, show me, let me hear your voice, Holy Spirit. Is the tug in my heart? Tell me if this is what I'm supposed to do. Because we have a responsibility for our society. Your coworkers have families. Your coworkers also have dreams. So walking humbly with God blesses those around you. When we make decisions for our school, for our home, our family, those that are our biggest responsibility should be the areas where we pray the most for. And not only ask God, what we want, because we love to tell God, God, I want to do this, so bless it. No, what if God, even though you think it's a great idea, what if God just nudges you and says, That is when the humbleness really kicks in. When we are willing to obey God, when we are willing to trust God, when we take the time to speak and to listen to God. There were these two disciples with Jesus, James and John, and you can read about this in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 35 through 45. And I really encourage you to study more on all of this during the week and during the month and our whole lives. But in Mark 10, chapter 10, we read about James and John. They approach Jesus and they say, Jesus, when you restore your kingdom of Israel, I want you to put each of us on your side. Put one of us on your left hand and one of us on your right hand. And sometimes we're too quick to judge them. But I actually believe they had good intention. Because see, the disciples, society, they thought Jesus was only going to restore the kingdom of Israel because they were oppressed by Rome. So they saw him as a religious leader, but also that leader for the people. So James and John, perhaps, were being greedy, or perhaps they were thinking of their family. They were thinking of their community. They thought, you know what? I feel ready. I feel capable. Jesus, I want to stand with you. You can count on me. I think I can do this. Of course, the other 10 disciples got mad. We assume they got mad because they were humble, but what if they got mad because they wanted that position? Who knows, right? We're not told. But let's read what Jesus responded to them. I'm going to read from Mark chapter 10, verses 41 through 45. When the other 10 disciples, heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first, a slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." So here, Jesus calls them out and can call us out. If you want to be great for your community, for your family, for your workplace, your home, your finances, your health, all those things that are vital and valuable and perhaps stress you, then surrender that to God. Serve God. Serve each other. Pray and seek the guidance of God. Walk humbly with God. Give him that throne of honor that only God deserves. He is the authority of all of our life, of all of our dreams, all of our plans, all of our agenda. See, seeking God's favor, pleasing God, is not necessarily pleasing us. It is first pleasing God. But I can tell you with conviction that the more we do this with our Lord, the greater blessing we receive. Naturally, we will develop a closer and more intimate relationship with God. We will see God's hand in our daily life, in all of our areas of life. We will be able, the more we humbly seek God, the more we can act justly, because then we will surrender to the correction of the Bible, of the Word of God. The more we will love mercy, because the presence of God will instill that in who we are. Church, we're about to start a new school year. Our children, our college students, our high school students, teachers, all of staff, society has rested this summer, had fun this summer. But we must remember that wonderful invitation that we have, that as we begin this new season of learning, that we are also students of God, that we are also called to continue to receive correction and be led so that we may act justly and love mercy. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let us pray. God, we love you. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we need you. Forgive us, God, for the times when perhaps we have been self-sufficient without you. Forgive us, God, for the times that perhaps we've been arrogant, even if it was unintentionally. God, forgive us, Lord. Help us bring all of our life to your hands. Help us always remember to worship you and you alone, for the throne is only yours, God. And we ask that you sit in our hearts and in our minds, that you be all around us, as we continue to walk this life, that you be our leader and inspire us and instill in us your justice and your mercy, Father. It is in your holy name, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, that we pray. Amen.